But again, good morning and welcome to our 11 a.m. service here at the Cornerstone Orchard. Allow me to just speak for a few moments. But before I do that, with courts and lawyers, I thought I'll just throw out a few riddles. Now, what do lawyers wear when they go into court? Law suits. You don't like that, huh? What do you call a priest who becomes a lawyer? A father-in-law. A man was in an interrogation room and he says, "I'm not saying a word without my lawyer present." The policeman says, "But sir, you are the lawyer." To which he says, "Exactly, so where's my present?" Okay, never mind. Some of you will only get it tomorrow. But welcome to our Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. Come on. You know, believers and Christians all around the world today are coming together and celebrating not just the death of Jesus, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of Christianity hinges not just on the death, but on the resurrection of the risen Christ. Amen. Paul the Apostle says it this way in the Bible, that if Jesus died and did not rise again, then we of all people, Christians, we are the most pitiable of all human beings, because then our faith is empty and our faith is futile. But if you're a believer in this place today, like myself, you and I can vouch of a changed life, a transformed heart, a hope because of Jesus Christ. He is alive and alive forevermore. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, not just another holiday that we celebrate. It is the day that changed the legal standing of a whole humanity forever. Because outside of Jesus Christ, humanity stands accused. You and I, we stand guilty as charged, as sinners. In our sin, in our filth, we stand condemned before a righteous God, the judge. Number one, we're all guilty before God. We are. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says it this way, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually in a courtroom where God is the righteous judge, and the evidence of our sin is overwhelming because it is literally a death penalty, eternal damnation in hell. You better believe in heaven and hell, my friends. You better believe in eternity. And I want to say this up front. Hell was never made for you. Hell was never made for human beings. Hell was made for Satan and his horde of demons. We better believe in heaven and hell. Romans 6:23 was quoted earlier in the play. "For the wages of sin," the punishment, the penalty of our sin is death. Eternal death. And Satan, whose name literally means the accuser. So you have Satan, the accuser. You have Jesus, our advocate. Satan's name means the accuser. He brings our faults. He brings our failures. He brings our sins before the court. John 10:10 says it this way. "The thief," Satan, "the devil, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." You see, sin is not just something we do. It is part of our fallen nature. As human beings, we were born into this world with sin, with a fallen nature, and no culture, no upbringing, no moral effort exempts any one of us in this place. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And because of that, we all, every one of us, we stand guilty as charged before a righteous God. But I've got good news for you this afternoon. Do you like good news? Absolutely, we all love good news. And the good news of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross on our behalf. He paid the penalty of sin on our behalf. Romans 5:8 says it this way, "God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus didn't just defend us, he took our very sentence. It is like a man who's convicted in court, sentenced to pay a massive fine that he cannot afford. Just as judgment is about to fall, someone steps forward and pays the entire debt, pays the entire price on his behalf. Now, the judge can call the man a free man, not because he is innocent, but because someone else has paid the price on his behalf. You understand? And in the same way, that's what Jesus Christ did at the cross. His death and his resurrection proves that the payment was accepted. And this is, my friends, the beauty of grace. That we are not defended because we are innocent, but because Jesus Christ is righteous. Somebody say amen. And he didn't just die for us. 3 days after his death, his burial, Jesus Christ rose again as our advocate. I mean, who do you think created the rock and the roll? The rock and roll. Christ, he's the founder of rock and roll. I mean, you have the rock, you have the roll, and you have the resurrection. Come on. If you've been a Christian long enough, you'll know the song. The stone's been rolled away. Yeah, Darlene Check, Hail Songs. No, okay. You know, he didn't just die for us. He rose again as our advocate. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Who's that? Jesus Christ the righteous. What is an advocate? An advocate is one who stands and speaks on behalf of another, especially in the court of law. And in the same way, the blood of Jesus now speaks for us. When the Father sees us, he no longer sees our sins. Now he sees the blood of his Son. The stone's been rolled away. Our debt is completely paid for in the name of Jesus. You know, there is a park in California that has a rock that's literally hanging on a rope with a sign beside it that says this, weather station report, check the rock. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's swinging, it's windy. If it's dry, it's not raining. If you cannot see the rock, it's foggy. If the rock has been blown away, it's a tornado. In the same way, how do we know that Christ is risen from the dead? I say, check the rock. Come on, check the rock. The stone's been rolled away. Jesus Christ is alive and alive forevermore. He's still in the business of saving souls. He's still in the business of saving us from sin and from darkness. Come on. We're not sons and daughters of darkness. We're sons and daughters of light of the kingdom of God. And that's why now, today, we can receive salvation. We can receive forgiveness for our sins. We can receive the mercies and the grace of God. We can receive the freedom in the name of Jesus. You know, we can debate scriptures. You can talk about your opinions. I can talk about my perspectives. But nothing beats the evidence of a changed life. I wasn't born into a Christian family. My parents were Buddhists. But at 8 years old, like Timothy Tan, I had a Rachel in my life. Her name is Auntie Maureen. She prayed for my whole family, prayed for the salvation of my salvation, my brother's salvation, that of my cousins, my parents, the entire families. At 8 years old, I was eight, Auntie Maureen invited me to church, Cornerstone. We were then in World Trade Center. So I literally grew up in this house. And I love Sunday school every Sunday. You know, we get picked up in the church van. Our superintendent would lead us in prayer and teach us to pray for the salvation of my parents. And so every Sunday we're praying, in Jesus' name, save my mom, save my dad. I love Sunday school, great games, nice songs. You know, one time a teacher came up and said, Sabrina, would you like to invite Jesus into your heart? I said, sure, I want to invite Jesus. He seems like a nice guy. I said the salvation's prayer for the first time, 8 years old. The very first time I encountered God in a very real, conscious way was at 10 years old. Sunday school, we were singing to a song, I will have no other gods before you. With all my heart, soul, mind, I will love you and worship you. And as we sang that song, tears were streaming down my face. I felt this movement in my spirit, in my heart, this moving, stirring, this warmth in my heart. And so I started weeping, didn't know why I was crying, but I knew that God was real. Well, it wasn't until I went to secondary school, I was in a girls' school, convent school, got myself into a wrong company of friends. And so, you know, peer pressure and all these things. I lived a really messy lifestyle. In fact, I've got a photo to show you of my youth. That's me. That was me. I know I'm as shocked as you are. That's me in my spiky hair. I mean, I was in this identity crisis. I had a crisis, you know, of my sexuality. And for about 3 years, really, I lived in a really messy lifestyle. Now, my parents gave their lives to Christ when I was 11 years old, okay? They were invited to a conference in Singapore by my mother's colleague, had their own encounters with Jesus, gave their lives to Christ, and they started attending the church. And so when I was really rebellious and messed up, I didn't want to come to church. But my mom, who's here today, you know, she would nag, go to church, make sure you go to church. In fact, I want to honor my parents, mom and dad. Can you just wave your hands? Yeah, that's my parents right there. You know, thank you for bearing with me. I've put you through a lot of sorrows and suffering in my youth. You know, but I want to say this. Parents, you're praying for your children. Never relent. God hears the prayers of the parents for your children. And my parents never gave up. They continued praying for me. You know, and I still came to church during my rebellious days. You know, I'll sit right at the back of the church, arms folded like some of you I can see there. You know, last one in, first one out, bye. After service, I'm going out, meeting my friends. And for 3 years, I lived like that, in and out of church, in and out of church. And I tell you what, every time I came to church, although I was still rebellious and just unrepentant, the love of God would come chasing after me. Like, I would still encounter the grace of God, the mercies of God. It's like He never, ever wanted to let me go. You know, I remember sitting at the back and just listening to some of these preaching, some of the testimonies. I remember an American evangelist who came for our youth service, and he said, you know, I was going to kill myself. I had a gun on my head in a bar. And I said, Jesus, if you're real, send somebody right now into this bar to tell me that you love me. Somebody walked into the bar and said, Jesus loves you. And today he's an American evangelist. I'm like, God, so dramatic or not? And I grew up hearing all these testimonies and all these preachings of salvation and the good news of the gospel. You know, and God would just come after me. But I was still unrepentant because I thought, you know what? It looks like the world has more to offer, and I want to have fun. I want to play. You know, I was really struggling with my identity. I thought I was supposed to be born a man, trapped in a woman's body. And so I had all these lies and deception and thoughts in my head. It wasn't until 17 years old, I nearly got expelled from school, that drove me to a dead end. And I always say this to people, the end of man is the beginning of God. I came to the end of myself because my school was pending my expulsion. My parents were in Australia then for a business trip. And I remember going home. I sat in my room and I thought, I calculated. I thought, okay, you know what? I don't want to face the consequence. I'm going to think of ways to get away from this situation. The first thought that came to my head was this. Savvy, pack your bags, run away from home, never come home again. Now, I counted the cost. I'm not working. No income. No money. Who's going to feed me? And for how long can I run away for? Yes, I thought, stupid idea. Second thought, jump down, commit suicide, just end your life. You're a mess anyways. You're a misery to your parents. You know, they keep getting principal's calls. And so I thought, why not? I kid you not. We lived in a double-story mansion before. And so I walked down from my bedroom to the kitchen, 10th story. I opened the kitchen windows and I looked down. And I thank God the fear of God gripped my heart because I had no courage to jump. In fact, I remember the conversations my friends and I would have that, you know, when people jump down, they don't actually die when they reach the floor. They die mid-air because of pressures and such. And then when they, you know, reach the floor, it's like splat. And so I had all these things in my head, you know, and I just didn't have the courage to jump. I closed the windows in my misery and I went upstairs, sat on my bed, and I thought, what should I do? The third thing that came into my thought was God. I said, okay, I'll give God a chance. I was so arrogant. I was so proud. I thought that I was giving God a chance. Now, looking back right now, it wasn't me giving God a chance, my friends. It was God giving me a chance. He was giving me another chance. He's the God of the second chance. He's the God of the third chance. He's the God of the fourth chance, the fifth chance. He's a God who will never let us go. He woos us. I'm telling you, He pursues us with the ferocity of His love. And so I thought, I'm going to give God a chance. I got up from my bed. I went to my window and I started talking to God, okay? Now, I grew up in church, so I know prayer. I know prophetic acts. I know altar calls. So I did my very first altar call. Wasn't in a church. I did it in my bedroom for myself. I did an altar call and I responded myself. I was in my bedroom and I said, God, I'm going to do a prophetic act right now. I used my finger and I drew a line on the carpet of my bedroom. I drew a line. Nobody's watching. I mean, we didn't have the Cornerstone worship team in the background playing their music and, you know, stirring up some nice emotions. Nothing of those sort. I drew the line on my carpet. I stood there and I said, God, I want to show you I'm serious. If you will help me not get expelled from school, number one, and number two, change my life. I'm done living like that. I'm done doing this, doing that. I listed out every known sin I was doing and committing against God. I listed them out and I said, God, change my life and give me another chance at education. I drew that line on my carpet and I crossed that line. I said, God, as I cross this line, I'm a new creation and you change me. The moment I crossed that line, I went on my knees and I wept like I never wept before. I encountered God in my bedroom. I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. I felt this blanket come over me, like this blanket of love, this blanket of a washing that just came over me. I was done crying. I stood up. The moment I stood up, ladies and gentlemen, this was a very supernatural encounter. You know, I went down almost like with weights, like shackles. I was bound, chained. But when I stood up, I knew something had happened in my life. I felt light, like something broke off my life. I felt so light, like a feather. And I had this residing unnatural peace. I knew it was unnatural because that was not the state that I went on my knees with. I knew something was happening in my heart. So I called my youth leader, who was then my cousin. I said, Delia, you're the first person I'm telling this to. I might get expelled from school. I didn't know where to turn to. I turned to God, and this is what I'm feeling right now. And Delia, like any good youth leader, over the phone, she's like, Sammy, praise the Lord. You know, we've all been praying for you that God will set you free and deliver you because you've got such a calling in God. You're going to be preaching the gospel one day. You're going to be going to nations one day. Praise the Lord. He has set you free. You have encountered the Lord. I said, thank you very much, whatever that meant. I put on the phone. 2 weeks later, I get called into the principal's office with my accomplice. She didn't do anything. She's not guilty. She just followed me. I stole the thing. She didn't steal it. But on school records, she's got a worse record than I do, okay? So we're in the principal's office. The principal looks at my friend. She gives her a talk. Then she says, so-and-so, you're expelled. My heart sank. I thought you just expelled my accomplice. What hope do I have, really? Just tell me I'm expelled too. My principal looks at me, and I'll never forget the speech. She gave me a whole inspirational speech. She says to me, Sabrina, you are a bright student. My teachers and I, we can see it in your eyes. I'm like, my eyes? Thanks, Mom, for feeding me carrots. And she gives me this whole inspirational pep talk, and I'm just like, man, just tell me I'm expelled. At the end of it, she says, we have decided to give you another chance. Study hard and do well and prove to us we made the right decision. Right there, I wanted to slap my principal, slap myself, and slap my friend. Because I'm like, is this a dream or is this real? We left the principal's office. My friend, of course, is wailing. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. Everything else is history. Not only did Jesus Christ come and change the trajectory of my destiny, He came to change my life. In the totality of it, my identity, my entire being. And I never looked back since. 23 years ago, I encountered Jesus in my bedroom. And today, I'm serving God full time, not just as a pastor, but the past 12 years of my life, I've been in the mission fields in Sarawak, East Malaysia, planting churches. And I could very well tell you the evidence of these changed lives as well. I want to introduce to you my Sarawakian brothers, Solomon and Gavin. I tell you what, these guys, Gavin's there, that's Solomon over there. These guys were drug abusers, drunkards. The first time they walked into my church in Miri, Sarawak, they reeked of alcohol, high, on drugs. I mean, not sober. And they came to church, brought their friends, you know, just staggering into church, sometimes still reeking of alcohol. And you can tell, you know, mucus coming out of their nose. They're high. We never ever once went to them and said, hey, bro, what would Jesus do, man? WWJD. Will Jesus drink and get drunk? Will Jesus take drugs and get high? I talk like that because that's how they talk. I mean, these people are Muay Thai fighters. Gavin is Sarawak Represent Champion, MMA. I mean, they do Muay Thai, they do Jiu-Jitsu, and they walk like chimps, you know, like chimps. Pastor Sabi, if anyone bullied you, tell us, huh? Like that, you know. They are my bouncers. You know, and Rachel and I, so that's Rachel, my co-lead pastor in Sarawak, we made a purpose in our hearts that we will never, ever, you know, approach people and say, hey, what would Jesus do? Hey, if you don't do this, you'll burn in hell. God's going to punish you, like what Stacey Danker said. But we said, you know, we want to build a church that's so potent with the raw and the real presence of God that when people come into the house, they don't come judged, but they come touched by the love of God. Convicted by the love of God, that they in turn will come to us and say, pastors, can you walk us through this journey because God's really dealing with us. And that's exactly what happened to these men. Gavin came up to me one day after service, Pastor Sabi, we want to burn our bongs. I'm like, you want to burn your what? We want to burn our bongs. I'm like, I'm so sorry, Gavin, what are bongs? And he's like, you know, the instrument that we do drugs in, And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm a very lawful citizen of Singapore. I don't do drugs, I told him. You know, and so I'm like, yeah, let's burn your bongs, bro. And next picture, you know, we brought this Yo Kim Tua, you know, Hungry Ghost Festival. We brought it to the back of a house and we set it on fire. Gavin, Solomon, and their whole band of brothers, all drug abusers, all set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they brought their shoe boxes of drugs, weed, ketamine, meth. I have never seen drugs in my life. And so before we burn them into the fire, I say, hey, open those shoe boxes. I want to see how drugs look like. And so for the first time in my life, I saw K, I saw weed, I saw meth. And I'm like, let's burn them. And so we threw in the bongs, we threw in the shoe boxes of drugs. Of course, after that, we're all high because we're all inhaling the smoke from the burnt drugs, right? You know, and Gavin says, Pastor, can I lead my brothers in the Lord's Prayer? I said, go ahead, bro. And Gavin is he's half Australian, half Sarawakian, and he is a rapper. He's not just a MMA champion, but a rapper. And so he goes, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, you know. And all these men, I tell you, all these big men, right? Don't see them so big and intimidating. I tell you, all hearts like, very tender hearts. I love it. I call them gentle giants. Oh, Father. Man, it was so glorious. And today, they own a gym. They run a gym, a Muay Thai gym in Miri, Sarawak, called the War Monger. And this gym in Sarawak is known as the gym to go to if you don't just want to be physically trained, but you want to be spiritually fit. These guys will not just train you. They will pray for you. What a testimony. These guys still go for tournaments. You know, and while the other competitors are doing their Thai rituals and all these things, these band of brothers, they set up a speaker, you know, worship music. They're worshiping Jesus. And Gavin always wears a t-shirt that says, Jesus is King. After they beat people up in the ring, they pray for them. I love it. This is church, guys. You know, as I invite the worship team, I have a last testimony to tell you. I tell you, I've got so many of these stories I can tell you about. Evidence of changed lives. Nobody could have changed any one of them. Solomon is a pastor's kid. Gavin is an elder's kid. They grew up in Christian homes. But yet wayward, backslidden lives. No one could have changed them except the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, today there's such testimonies. My last picture, Caitlin. That's Caitlin right there celebrating her birthday. Caitlin's first time to our church in Kuching. We also have another church we planted in Kuching, Sarawak, the capital of East Malaysia. When Caitlin came in to the church, it wasn't like a service like this. It was our church camp. Her friend invited her for our church camp, and she came because there was a bunch of her friends that were coming. Anyways, on the third day of the church camp, it happened to be her 25th birthday. Now, we were getting to know Caitlin because she's new with us in our church camp. I remember after the third day of the sessions at night, we knew it was her birthday, so we got her a cake. A group of us came into a bedroom with a cake. We sang her a birthday song. We sat down with her, chatted with her. I mean, it was our last night of camp anyways, and so we're just hanging out in a room. And another bunch of people came into the room, and every time someone comes into Caitlin's room, and another bunch comes into Caitlin's room, we would always sing her a birthday song. So another person, happy birthday to you. Another bunch comes, happy birthday to you. Another, happy birthday to you. I mean, but honestly, we're just fooling around, okay? We're just having fun. And so we're goofing around, we're just singing birthday song after birthday song to Caitlin. I think we sang about 8 to 10 birthday songs because 8 to 10 groups of people were coming into the room. At the end of it, Caitlin says, she's very timid. She's not like loud and extroverted. She says, can I say something? We say, of course, it's your birthday. Speech, speech, speech. Caitlin starts to cry and she's shaking. She says, I had plotted my suicide. I was going to kill myself today on my 25th birthday. See, Caitlin was diagnosed with severe depression. She had night terrors every night, couldn't sleep, insomnia, night terrors after night terrors after night terrors, clinically diagnosed severe depression, anxiety, bipolar. She said, I plotted my suicide. I even have my suicide note written to my family. She's shaking. She says, I was going to kill myself today on my 25th birthday. And she says, every time y'all came in and sang me a birthday song, And another person comes in and you sang me another birthday song. And another person comes in and you sing me this, all these birthday songs. She says, I've never felt like that before. She said, I heard God saying to me, this gift of life I've given to you, and it is worth living for. It is worth celebrating. It is worth celebrating. And Caitlin gave her life to Jesus Christ that very day. Today, she's diagnosed depression-free. Not because of some psychologist or some psychiatrist she was seeing, but absolutely because Jesus Christ was her healer and continues to be her healer. You know, Caitlin before, she would wear turtlenecks, covered up. She'll never wear t-shirts. Turtlenecks right up to her neck, covered up. Why? Self-mutilation. She had cut marks on her arms, cut marks on her neck. Just so broken. The first time we saw her, you could see this darkness coming, this darkness of oppression over this girl. Today, she's beautifully married to a gorgeous man in Kuching. And they're entrepreneurs, you know, they run restaurants today and doing so well in the Lord. I can tell you so many other stories of changed lives. I mean, these are really some dramatic, extravagant changes, you know, but so many testimonies. Maybe you're here for the first time. I don't know. Maybe someone invited you to church today because it's Resurrection Sunday, because we have a play that's going on. Maybe at the sound of my voice and the sharing and a testimony, something's moving in your heart. Even at the play, you could relate to some things that were going on and something stirring already in your spirit. The Bible says that Jesus comes and He knocks on the doors of our hearts. And I appreciate the play because Barry, who represents Jesus, every time, you know, when he's given time to talk, he always says, can I first speak to the accused? Can I first speak to the defendant? And that's how Jesus says, he will not budge into your life. He will have a conversation with you. He has given all of us, human beings, men and women, a free will. You have a choice to make. I had a choice to make. 23 years ago, I came to the end of myself. And I tell you what, I never looked back since. How are we going to respond to a God today who's coming after us ferociously with His love, with His hope, with His peace, with His grace, and His absolute mercies? That decision and response on our lives, there are consequences to it. And I never look back since. Don't believe it when they say that God's no fun. I tell you, 23 years of my life, I would be the greatest fool to trade anything that I've lived for in 23 years of my life for anything that I had in the past. The parties, the relationships, the mess in my sin. Life with Jesus has been an adventure. I'm telling you, it's been an adventure. Fulfillment, contentment in the Lord. And today I know God's speaking. He's moving and stirring in many hearts. And the Bible says that when He comes and knocks on the door of your heart, do not harden your heart. Don't let the enemy come and harden your heart in pride, in ego, our face value, with all these other things that we have going on in our thoughts right now. Silence the voice of the accuser and let the advocate, Jesus Christ, speak for you. He paid your debt. What grace? This is the scandal of grace. It's the scandal of grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And while we deserve punishment and eternal damnation, God in His mercy not gave us punishment, but He also gave us what we don't deserve, salvation, forgiveness of sins, life, and life more abundant. Stand with me as I come to a close. All across this hall, I'm not inviting any one of you into a religion today. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is dead. It's got no power whatsoever to save you or to change you. Christianity is a living relationship with the Father in heaven that Jesus Christ paid for on that cross to reconcile us back into this relationship with God. I talk to God. I walk with God every day. In the past few days since Good Friday, you know, on Good Friday, I woke up and I spent more than 2 hours in my room just putting on worship on my laptop. And I just sat with the Lord and I just wept for more than 2 hours, and so my eyes have been very puffy, but I just said with the Lord, you know, my heart, I felt like this, the ferocious love of God was coming after me in another cycle, in another wave, and I was so humble. I sat on my chair and I just worshiped. I just thanked the Lord. My heart was bursting with gratitude, and man, I was so broken, really. I'm so humbled, you know. I'm just like, God, who am I that you would die for me? The love of Jesus. I said, who am I that you would care for me? Who am I that you would choose to even use a broken vessel like me? And I just adored the Lamb. I just adored Jesus. I just sat and just worshipped yesterday as well. Sat with Him, put on worship music in my room, and I just adored the Lord. I just say, God, I thank you. And when people see me, may they not see me, may they see Jesus Christ in me. The broken can find their home in you, God. The sick can find their healing in you, God. The sinful can find forgiveness and grace and mercy in you, God. Every eyes closed all across this place. Nobody looking around. Let's honor the presence of God in this place. Christian or non-Christian, just close your eyes. I'm going to invite God right now to speak to us in a very personal way. Holy Spirit, I know that you're already speaking to people. Hearts are stirred. Spirits are beginning to feel like, hey, there's just something different about this. I've not experienced a movement like that before in my heart. He comes. He stands at the door of your hearts. And He knocks. Will you let me in? Will you let me in? I want to be your freedom. I want to be your salvation. He wants to be your hope, your peace. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and today at the sound of my voice, you're saying, Pastor Sabby, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus into my life. Not a religion, but a relationship. I want to know this God you're talking about today. I need a life that's changed. My morality cannot save me. My righteousness cannot save me. My sins obviously cannot save me. Today is your day. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to respond by lifting up your hands. There's another group I want to speak to. You used to have faith in Jesus. You used to have a relationship with God. But somewhere down the journey of your life, you walked away from Him. Like me, you backslid. Whether it was because of disappointments, church hurt, whether it was because of unmet expectations or temptations of the pleasures of the world. You walked away from Jesus, and today you know that God is wooing you back to Him. With the ferocity of His love, He's wooing your heart back to Him. Come back, my son. Come back, my daughter. Daddy's waiting for you. Daddy's waiting for you. You have a heavenly Father, my friends. You're not a spiritual orphan that's rejected and abandoned. The Heavenly Father came for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And today I know God's wooing hearts. And you ought to respond. If you're in the second category of people as well, respond to the Father. Respond to the Lord. Don't harden your hearts. I plead and I implore with you, do not walk away from this place without Jesus Christ in your lives. God is real and is after every one of us this afternoon. Just close your eyes all across this place. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to hearts right now. For as many who would respond to you today, that you would come into their hearts, be their Lord, be their Savior, be the solution, the answer, the peace, the hope of their lives. In Jesus' name. At the count of three, if that is you, you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ. At the count of three, just put up your hand. And when I see your hand, I will pray with you. You're not responding to me. You're not making a decision on behalf of your friend beside you, the person that's standing beside you. You're making a very personal decision with God today. One, two, three. Is there anyone here? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. I see your hand. I'll pray with you. Keep your hands up. Is there anyone else here? I'm going to wait for one more minute. I see that hand there, sister. God bless you. I see that hand there too. God bless you. Anyone else? I see these hands in front here. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? The Father is calling. The Father is calling. Jesus is reaching. I see your hand there. God bless you. Anyone else? 30 more seconds and I'll pray. Just 30 more seconds and I'll pray. Do not miss the day of your visitation today, my friends. Jesus is real. He's coming after your hearts. Give him your heart. Some of you, you have suffered betrayals. And I hear God saying to you, I will not betray your trust. I will not betray your heart. I see God holding some of your hearts that has been so betrayed, that is so wounded. And the Lord says to you, I am the defender and the protector of your hearts. If you will give your heart to me today, I will defend it. I will heal it and I will protect it. Anyone else? 10 more seconds and we'll pray. All across this hall, Jesus is reaching. Don't turn him away. I see that hand. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We're going to start praying for people. Now, if you lifted up your hands wherever you are, can you please do me a favor? Just one more step. Just one more step as I lead you into a prayer of salvation. Can I invite you now to just leave your seats and just come forward to the altar? If you lifted up your hands, my brothers, my sisters, just leave your seats right now and come stand before God at this altar. I want to come down and just shake your hands, pray together with you. We've got a whole team of altar workers here who's going to pray with you as well. Please come, leave your seats, come to the altar. Come. If you lifted up your hands to the Lord, come. The altar is open. The altar is open. Give your hearts back to Jesus. Give your lives to Jesus. Give your lives to Jesus. He will not fail you. Some of you are already weeping here in front. I'm telling you, that's the Father's love. That's the Father's love. He's coming after you. He's coming after you, young lady. He's coming after you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, he's coming after you. He's coming after you. He's coming after you. You know, God's never let you go. Shakarababa soto robo shebrete ketayena. Oh, I'm telling you that the altar is still open. If you don't have Jesus in your hearts, I'm pleading with you, don't leave this place without Jesus. It is still open. You can still come down, but I'm going to lead these ones here in front. Now, if you're in front, can you just look at me for a few moments? I want to tell you that this is the best decision you can ever make in your life. I am so heartened to see you coming back to the Father. There's nothing you've done in the past that has caused God to shut his doors on you. And many of you right now, you're just experiencing the love of God. You're tearing up. There's something moving in your heart because that's God pursuing you, not my words. Not my words. But that's the love of your Father. I'm going to lead you all into a prayer right now. And I'm going to first ask you to just lift your hands like that. You're receiving a gift. And you are receiving a gift today. It's called the gift of salvation. It's called the gift of life. And close your eyes. Just lift your hands to Jesus and close your eyes. And I'm going to lead you now in a prayer. Prayer is a very simple thing. It's conversation with God. It's like how I was conversing with you. That's prayer, conversing to God. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just repeat this prayer after me and pray it with all your heart. Say, dear Jesus. Can I invite all of you to believers and Christians? If you're a believer here, just stretch out your right hand of blessing towards these ones in front. And can I invite you to also say this prayer after me? Say, dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I open the doors of my heart to you today.
I open the doors of my heart to you today.
And I invite you into my life.
And I invite you into my life.
Come and be my Lord.
Come and be my Lord.
Come and be my Savior.
Come and be my Savior.
I thank you for dying on the cross for me.
I thank you for dying on the cross.
I thank you for your grace.
I thank you for your grace.
For your mercy.
For your mercy.
For your love.
For your love.
I thank you for forgiving me of my sins.
I thank you for forgiving me of my sins.
And today I pray.
And today I pray.
Have my heart.
Have my heart.
Have my life.
Have my life.
I am yours.
I am yours.
A child of your kingdom.
A child of your kingdom.
The kingdom of light.
The kingdom of light.
And not of darkness.
And not of darkness.
Reveal yourself to me.
Reveal yourself to me.
In a real and personal way.
In
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, I speak over these decisions today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will seal these decisions with the blood of Jesus. I thank you that you're moving in their hearts. The love of God that's just pursuing these ones, God. God, I thank you for the wooing of the Father's love. I thank you that nothing we've done has caused you to close your doors and your arms towards us. And today I thank you for thy grace. I thank you for thy mercy. I thank you for your love everlasting. Your compassions that fail not. Receive the gift of salvation, my brother. Receive the gift of salvation. God's moving in your hearts. God's moving in your hearts. Seal these decisions with the blood of Jesus. Seal, my brother. Seal my brother's life in the blood of Jesus. I'm so proud of you, Dwayne. I'm so proud of you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my brother. My youngest brother. Whom you have called and chosen. Put a seal of your love upon him, God. I thank you for salvation today. I thank you. Seal him. Seal him for your glory. Seal him for your purposes. I thank you for thy grace, God. I thank you for your love that's just reaching out. That's just reaching out. Oh, that's right. You're just experiencing Jesus right now. You're experiencing Jesus right now. These tears, it's God. That's God. That's God. Give him your life. Give him your hearts. Oh, thank you, Father. Seal this decision, God. Seal this decision, God. Oh, seal this faith in you. My sister, in Jesus' name, seal it. Seal it. Seal it with the blood of Jesus. God, I thank you for this young man. Seal it. Seal him for the day of your glory. God, I thank you. I thank you for salvation. This gift of life. A love that they're going to encounter and experience that they have never known before. God, encounter them. Encounter them. Yeah. Yeah, the Lord's just coming after your heart. Fill her, God. Fill her. Fill her. Fill her with your love. Fill her with your presence. Oh, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. This is what we're going to do now for a few moments. If you look behind you, there are altar workers in this place, and they're going to take you out for a moment, just a short moment, and then you're going to come back to the hall again. But they're going to take you out for a while just to get your names and just to pray with you. Okay, and then you'll come back to the hall again. But can we all just maybe turn to your left? So your left. Yeah, just turn to your left, and someone's going to lead you out. Can we one more time? Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.